There we are.
Ah, okay, very good. Dr. Dean settling into the well-lined and, well, rather plush, as a matter of fact, guest seat here in our control room. We don't get those kind of seats.
I know, right?
Yeah. Dr. Dean Baird with Mountain Empire Animal Hospital, which sponsors this portion of the program with Petpourri every Monday morning around 8:15. Good morning, Dr. Dean.
Maybe if you were balanced, you would get one of those seats.
That could be. That could be. We'll have to check on that and see.
He did go to medical school. So
I understand that, too.
And I went to veterinary medical
school. Well, same thing.
I know. I'm a swan, so I qualify. Even though he doesn't do birds, exotic birds.
So in my defense, because you knew this was coming.
What's that?
We had the journey, the drive through the life of Christ at our church for the last three nights. And mm-hmm. I don't do well getting in bed late, and I did it two nights in a row, so the earphones suffered as a result.
Okay, that explains the...
That's the explanation.
The wardrobe mishap. Yes.
For the... I wondered why I couldn't hear on my left ear.
Still playing Pontius? What? Still playing Pontius Pilate?
Yeah, Pontius Pilate.
Man, he does a bang up job.
Oh, was that his?
Trying to figure it out.
Okay. Well, very good. So as we turn to veterinary this morning now, so what are we talking about? I've got something that could tie into our seasonal theme.
Okay,
if you
go ahead and tie into our seasonal
theme. Today is National Poinsettia Day today, and those things can be poisonous to
it's
pets.
The word poinsettia.
No. It's named after James Poinsett.
Who's he?
He was an American diplomat to South America, first saw them, brought them back to the Americas, and became wealthy.
Was he balanced?
Not quite.
Yes. Yeah. Only when he came back across the border.
There you go.
They can. I got to tell you that I don't remember exactly what the toxicity is, but they are. Mm-hmm. They are toxic. The good thing is most animals don't try to eat poinsettias.
Right. The little berries pop off sometimes.
That's true. The main thing I know about poinsettias is it seems like nobody can get them to live after Christmas.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe that's because there are nobody's in South America. I'm not really
Perhaps
sure.
That, too. But it is upsetting, certainly. And every holiday we like to talk about that, too, about the things not to feed the dogs, scraps from the table, poinsettias, mistletoe, and so on. Did we touch them all?
So I don't know if we did or not. I had thought about this Christmas thing about it's Christmas and what about the pets before I came into the show this
Okay,
morning.
Well.
To see if y'all had specific questions, because some of that stuff we've hit and missed at other times.
Yeah.
Like pancreatitis and feeding them and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple conceptual things that I think are important
that okay.
people don't think about. And one of them is that it's obvious, you just don't think about it. When Christmas happens, things change around your home in a way that causes stress to your pets, and people don't stop to think that that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's plenty of examples. You put up a Christmas tree, they don't have that the rest of you.
Right.
And all the lights and all the stuff. You got maybe people coming to your home.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're going to somebody else's home.
Right.
Either way, that's a change.
Yeah.
It's more of a change if you have people coming to your home where you're having guests over for Christmas, whatever events, Christmas dinner, Christmas party, whatever's mm-hmm. going on. And then the bad combination of that is people there and food.
Right.
And stress. So you've actually got three things. And what people frequently don't think about is that one of the reasons that pets will eat objects that they don't usually eat at Christmas, whether that object is something off of the tree or whether it's food,
mm-hmm.
is because they get stressed and their whole discombobulation that's going on because everybody's in the house.
Right, right.
Now, that doesn't mean you can change your plans for Christmas. Not advocating that.
Yes. But
what I'm saying is you really need to look at what's going on with your pet from the standpoint of what you can do to lessen the stress on the pet during Christmas.
Right.
Since you can't change exactly what you're going to do, and you don't want to change exactly what you're going to do. But we were talking before we came on the air about thinking like a cat,
mm-hmm.
Which is really difficult. To some degree, I think you need to try to think like a dog and or a cat if you have those around Christmas time, so that you can program into what you're doing some sort of provision for making it as least
stressful
as unstressful.
Yeah, there we go.
Is it a good thing to get down on their level and like crawl through the house and go, oh, I could eat that, I could bite that, I could.
Yeah, and if you do that, I don't want to get a video of it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I think that's actually a good idea, whether you have to get down there or not, but to scope it out and look at that.
Yeah.
There are legitimate problems with cats getting onto Christmas trees.
Oh yeah.
Getting stuff off of it and playing with them and eating them. Cats like to eat linear form bodies, such as
string
and rubber bands and
tinsel.
Rope and tinsel and those types of things. Why get into real trouble.
Why is it that cats are so attracted to the shiny, tinsely things? I mean, even not during Christmas, like if there is like a piece of gum with a piece of shiny something or not, they will just, you know, you see it in their litter box after the fact, and you're like, oh, whoa, anything plasticky that goes.
Well, that song say, why does the star shine? Why do the stars shine? Why does the ivy twine?
Right. Why do fools fall in love?
Yep. Yeah. Why do shiny things? So just put it in the song.
Okay.
Because when we figure the rest of it out, we'll figure that one out.
There you go. The song may lead us to it as well.
And the point of that is, Alec, it really doesn't matter. They do.
Yeah.
And that's what I tell clients about a lot of things that I can't explain why pets do. From the practical point of view, if we can't do anything to keep them from doing it, we're going to have to figure out a way to adjust to them doing it and try to mitigate that.
Right.
And I don't know the answer to why they do that. The point I'm trying to make is that you can't de-cat and de-dog Christmas.
Yeah.
You have to adjust what you're doing. And, you know, looking at it from the level you talked about to see what they could get into is a really good idea.
Right.
Whether you crawl around or whether you just get down there and look.
Mm-hmm. Get you a skateboard and just kind of roll around, you know.
Yeah.
Put it on your belly, you know.
Get on a skateboard.
Yeah.
And then see if you can change something. I've told some people at Christmas to take their dog and put the dog in another room.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And they get all worked up about the dog being stressful. Some of those animals are not as stressed somewhere else in the house as they are where everything's going on.
Right.
Not to mention that they don't have the opportunity to eat things that they don't need to eat.
Yeah, because you know.
And I'm mostly talking about food now, because when you got people over, that's what's going to happen out of that.
Sure. Uncle Lou's going to be tossing stuff to the dog just to see him.
Yeah, I mean, you say, oh, it's okay, I'll tell him not to do it. Well, good. Well,
after Uncle Lou's had a few.
You don't keep him from doing it.
Yeah. He gets a little tipsy, and, you know, you're like.
Or they don't listen to you in the first place.
And honestly, if you've got a pet in a room with a lot of people, the pet's going to bother people. It's going to change the general atmosphere of the party, you know. Yeah. So it's probably a good idea, generally speaking, to put your pets in another room.
I think what happens with most dogs is that they're smart enough if they're in the room where all that's going on that they figure out which people to go to that'll
help. Definitely.
And then they work the room, so to speak.
Yep.
And if the cats are left alone, they'll go to the biggest hidey place they can find and not care about anything.
Some cats will hide anyway.
Yeah.
And that is kind of a self-limiting problem. Mm. But it depends on the cat. And it really comes down to knowing your cat or cats and knowing your dog or dogs or a combination thereof. Because I can't sit here and tell you everything you're going to have to do to fix preventing them from getting in trouble at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much different between, there are so many differences between individual pets that it depends on what your situation is.
Yeah. So, you know, the whole pets thing with around the food. Now, you're going to have different aromas for several days probably during your holiday season that the pets are going to be thrown off perhaps by. They'll probably go, why can't I have some of that?
I'm even thrown off by some of them. Depends on which one you're talking about.
And also the noise factor, too. When you've got a party going, that's pretty high decibel thing.
It's noise and people there that they're not used to, and some animals have no trouble with it at all. So for some people, this is just a waste of a program. But for the ones that have animals that are stressed by other people being around, it can make a big difference.
Now, is there something like you can go to a veterinarian and say, I've got 80 people coming over. My kitty cat stresses out. Have you got some?
Yeah, there are medications.
Yeah.
But we don't cookbook that. Mm-hmm. Depends on the pet and the situation and whether it's been used before.
Ah.
Because there are, I don't want to say side effects, but many of the medicines you're talking about are going to make them more calm, but also might make them a little bit gorked.
Right.
And if you haven't used it before, you kind of need to know how it's going to result, what the result's going to be on that pet. But yes, we do that some. We do it a lot in the summer because of fireworks.
Yeah.
Because, and not cats so much, but so many dogs have noise phobia that when all the fireworks happen, they come unglued, and we use medication for that. But some of the same medication or cast medications can be used for what we're talking about here.
And the thunder shirts help some animals quite a bit.
Some animals, they do, mostly dogs.
Yeah,
I don't know if you can get a thunder shirt on.
Probably
a cat
not.
And, good luck.
And end up doing it about bleeding.
Right.
But for dogs, thunder shirts can help.
Yeah.
They don't help sometimes exclusively, meaning that you don't need other medications. but they can be helpful.
Pets and people at Christmas, it's a big topic, and just make sure that you do the right thing by your pets first, okay? That is right thing by your pets. Not, don't go out and buy more pets. I didn't mean that.
You've already bought the pet.
We've already bought
one. You've got to do the right thing.
That's right. Absolutely. Dr. Dean Baird from Mountain Empire Animal Hospital joins us. The clinic is open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, except for holidays. What's the number to call, Dr. Dean?
282-3771.
There's who you call, Dr. Dean. We'll talk to you next week.